Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. I've messed around with my bloody volumes and sound. So I listened to the last podcast and I thought the quality was really bad. So I've been messing around trying to get a better quality sound. I've just messed it up completely. I've now got my garage band telling me, what's it saying? Error while trying to synchronize audio. MIDI sample rate recognized. Check conflict between garage band and external device. Whatever that means. So I'm hoping that this is still going to record to the to the podcaster thing, and I'll be able to sort it out later. Otherwise, it's going to be a waste of an hour or so. But before I go into the podcast proper, I do have a pre-prepared statement that I need to read. Look, on the Macy's Man Cave podcast, episode 32 of Saturday, the 26th of August, 2023. I made a series of statements in relation to the repeated replacement of kitchen bins by my wife, Gemma Mason. In my musings, I made a number of statements which may have mistakenly led my listener to conclude that the bins previously chosen to be purchased by my wife, Gemma Mason, were in some way inferior in quality, or that her choice of bins previously purchased were in some way flawed. Following a complaint from Mrs. Mason, I agreed to undertake a detailed review of the comments I made on my podcast of the 26th of August 2023. And I agree that my statements regarding the kitchen bins and her direct involvement in the choice of said bins did not meet the normally high standards of honesty, integrity, and quality that Macy's Man Cave Musings is committed to delivering. I am happy to accept and put on record that my statements may have inadvertently caused Mrs. Mason unnecessary and undue hurt and given listeners the clearly unfair and unsubstantiated impression that her choice of kitchen bins has been, in the past, or indeed still is, poor. Furthermore, as a result of my productive dialogue with Mrs. Mason, I am happy to put on record that the most likely reason for previous kitchen bin failures was, in fact, due to my own heavy-handed treatment of said bins. In particular, my lack of patience and care when attempting to remove full bin liners from the bins may have often resulted in the bins themselves being damaged in the process, rather than any substandard manufacturing or, again, as a result of Mrs. Mason's actual choice of bin. I'm pleased to put the record straight and reach an amicable resolution to this matter. I again apologise to Mrs. Mason for any distress caused by my insensitive and ill-informed and clumsy comments. Thank you. So, yes, got the formalities out of the way. My comments on the number of bins that we have acquired for the kitchen. I've got to be careful about what I say because I don't want to be taken down the legal legal route again. It caused some negative reaction in the Macy Man Cave household. The insinuation, unfair insinuation that the continuing purchasing of bins for our kitchen was in any way associated with the choice of bin by Gemma. So, I'm, as I said, very happy to put the record straight. Welcome back. So let's get on to the show proper. Welcome back. How are we all? Hope you're well. It is Tuesday, the 12th of September, 2023. It's 4 o'clock I've just done a day's work down the man cave where I am now. Bloody hot. Despite the fact that we've had a bit of rain. We've just been in this little, if you're living in the UK, you'll know that we've had a little mini heat wave towards, what's this, early September, quite unusual. But we've had a shit summer. So actually a bit of sun isn't a bad thing. Certainly off the back of a 2 week holiday in Orlando, where the weather was ridiculously hot, as I mentioned the other week. This has been a breeze, I tell thee. I had a really good weekend. Spent a lot of time in the sun, actually, with the twins. Took them down to our club, David Lloyd, and sat by the pool all day Saturday. I think they were in the pool from, I think it was about 9:30 till 3:30. And, did the usual stuff. I mean, things have changed, I think, since my younger years. I don't remember when I was a kid, and this could be a really unfair comment to make, but I'm just recalling my experience. I don't recall ever one of my parents applying suntan lotion on me. Well, sorry, it's sunscreen, isn't it? It's not suntan lotion, it's sunscreen these days. But I think back in the day it was suntan lotion. And I don't ever recall, you know, days in Scarborough or down at Southend or in Clacton or Walton on the Naze or Bridlington. Well, Bridlington you wouldn't, because every time we went to Bridlington, it just pissed it down with rain. But I don't ever recall a scenario or a situation of being kind of, those kind of things stick in your mind as a kid, don't they? When your mum's plastering, your mum and dad, you were having to wear clothes you don't want to wear, or you have to do, they're doing something that you don't, you know, they're either punishing you. Those things stick in your mind. And I think that, you know, being plastered with suntan lotion or sunscreen would stick in my mind. And I don't have any memories of it, which is probably why I used to get burned to a crisp. You know, with my lovely blonde curly locks, I used to get burnt to an absolute crisp. And even in my teenage years, I don't recall buying suntan lotion. I remember stealing it when I was about 18 or 19, 17 or 18, sorry, for my first holiday, Club 8 and 30 holiday, Ambrose Solaire. But I swear to God, I think I was quite naive, and I thought, because everyone referred to it as suntan lotion, I thought the numbers on the bottles were reference to how brown you could go. And obviously, like, the bottles, the ones, so you'd have normal, you'd have the white bottles with 30 and 15 or whatever it was on the bottle, and then you'd have these like see-through bottles which was just looked like oil. And it was like, it had number 2 or 4 on it. And I seem to recall thinking that if you want, the browner you want to go, the lower number you got to go for, which isn't actually a good idea. Because a fair-skinned boy like me, when I had hair, my blonde curly locks, I think when I did use suntan lotion, I kind of like chose very poorly in those first years when I was going on holiday with me mates. I seem to recall Turkey, me and my mates ending up covering ourselves in natural yogurt because we'd burnt to a crisp on day one and day two, and just sat in our non-air conditioned apartment in Bodrum. Just covered in actual natural yogurt, just because we just burnt ourselves to a crisp. But I did look it up the other day about, because my mind started getting inquisitive and started Googling it, and apparently the ancient Greeks themselves used olive oil. I mean, that just seems that, is that a protector, or is it just, does it just fry you? I don't know. And actually, so there is some truth to what I'm saying as well, because it wasn't until 1977 that the first UV, what is it called? UV waterproof sunscreen came out. So it's kind of like a modern invention, but I think the Brits, if you're a foreigner and you come, even now, if you're a foreigner and you used to go to any seaside town in the UK on a day like we had this weekend, when it was like upper 80s, low 90s, there would be people walking down the seafront, eating chips or having an ice cream, and they're literally glowing red. Their backs or the back of their necks, their heads. Oh, come on, love, let's go out to the seafront. Oh, should we take the sunscreen, Charlie? The sunscreen? Don't need no bloody sunscreen. Just have a bag of chips and an ice cream. We'll be all right, love. And they go down the seafront, sit on the deck chairs, that kind of... That symbolic kind of interpretation of a Brit on holiday in the UK with a handkerchief on his head, excuse me, sat in a deck chair, or as I mentioned the other couple of weeks ago about, you know, the old, you know, once you historically, once you'd passed the age of 40 or 50, as I am now, 53. Once you got to that age, you know, in that weather, you wouldn't wear shorts and a t-shirt. You'd still be dressed in. You'd have a shirt on with your sleeves rolled up, pair of trousers braces, and licking your ice cream, red face, burnt arms. But I don't think as Brits do sun very well. You know, we're not that. We are a fair-skinned nation, aren't we? Almost Aryan. It's funny, isn't it? Hitler himself, given that, you know, the master race was supposed to be these blue-eyed, blonde-haired people. Here's the bloke in charge of it. And he's everything that an Aryan race isn't supposed to be. But the Brits, I still think we're behind the times when it comes to how to deal with the sun. And again, you know, we've just had a summer where we hardly had any. I think we had a little blast in June or July where there was a week or so of hot weather. But then the rest of the summer has been miserable, absolutely miserable. And then, of course, if you have 3 or 4 days of heat, then it's all, the weather, it's the hottest day on record in September, and it's all down to global warming and all that kind of, all that hot weather that we, also all that shitty weather that we've had for the past 2 months just gets forgotten about. You know, all of a sudden now it's like, you know, the hot weather we're experiencing is an impact of global warming and we must do something about it. I sound like a conspiracy theorist, don't I? But at the same time, we've had a shit summer. And you compare this summer to 2020, I mean, when we was all stuck at home with COVID, there's just no comparison. It was much, much worse, or much, much better. Depends the way you look at it. So I took the pool down. So the girls' pool. I was really annoyed because I thought I'd smashed now 3-4 years into managing the girls' pool. I thought I'd smashed it and could absolutely maintain crystal clear water, but something has gone awry. And no matter how much I read up on the internet and how I tried to balance my chemicals and all that kind of stuff, it just went, all of a sudden, within 3 or 4 days, it just went green, absolutely green. Even though when I put my test strips in, it said the chlorine levels were fine and the pH levels were fine, it was green. So I changed my filters, changed my filter bulbs. I've got one of these sand filters, but I've I have historically used the book. There's these little white balls, like they look like cotton wool balls, and you put them in. And I think that might be it. So I think next year we're going to go into the proper sand. You fill the filter with sand. It just takes a little bit more maintenance. What you're supposed to be able to do with the balls is just put the balls in every month or so, get them out, put them in a washing machine, get them dry, put them back in. Whereas a sand filter, I think you have to do backwashes and you have to kind of like clear out the grit. But apparently the sand does last a lot longer and is a lot better at kind of filtering out the shit. So we'll try that next year. So now the challenge is getting the pool down, getting it packed away without it all going mouldy over the winter and making sure it's all dry and there's not all this kind of algae on it. So that's my next job. So I'm hoping, touching wood, we can get to the end of today without any rain. And I think I'll be there. But I hope you're well. Hope things are good. I was reminiscing yesterday a little bit because it is 22 years yesterday since September 11th, 2001. The date that will stick in the memory, should never forget, and all those types of things. But it always sticks in my mind, not just because of the disaster, because it was a triple whammy for me. I might have mentioned this before. So I was doing a bidders conference. I was working at Westminster Council. I was doing this conference for a tender opportunity. And so we were stuck in this room. So I didn't know anything about the Twin Towers or anything like that, and had arranged to meet a friend of mine who's going to pick me up to take me to Reading versus West Ham in the League Cup that evening. And I came out of this meeting about 3 or 4 o'clock, about to jump on the tube to go and meet my mate Steve, and he was picking me up from Canary Wharf. And phoned up my ex-wife, just to let her know, she said, have you seen the news? And I was like, no. I just said, I'm just on the way to meet Steve at Canary Wharf. She went, the Twin Towers have gone. And I was like, what? She went, you need to go and see the TV. The Twin Towers have gone. Didn't know what she was going on about. I think I popped into a pub and then saw it on the news. Bloody hell. Went to Canary Wharf still. There was a lot of scared people at Canary Wharf. He picked me up and we drove to Reading. And all the way, we was just listening to it, thinking, this is the end of the world and all this kind of stuff. I think my mum phoned me up in tears, thinking it might be the last time she ever spoke to me. Because I don't know about you, there was that kind of, I think kind of like the world held its breath a little bit, didn't it? It's kind of like, what's going to happen next? What is next? Is there going to be, is the American going to start bombing people in retaliation? Is there more terrorism to come? And so we was running late. I think everyone was trying to get out of London. The traffic was murder. We got to Reading. We're running late. And I jumped over the central reservation from where we parked in. This is the housing estate near the football ground. No, industrial estate. Jumped over the central reservation. Landed awkwardly on my foot. Heard this crack. I thought, fuck. Hobbled into the stadium. West Ham lost 1-0. And I was just in agony. Just in agony. And it's amazing that they played football that night, really. Well, I suppose it was an attack against the UK, but yeah, it's just weird, isn't it, that life kind of sort of went on as normal. And Steve very kindly, Steve Shandy, very kindly dropped me off at Basildon Hospital about, I'm trying to think, let's say 1 o'clock in the morning. And then I was in A&E from 1 till 6. Got my cast on my leg. Oh, that was also the day I got my job at Westminster Transport for London. So I got phoned up. I think I got phoned up in the afternoon or in the morning before I knew about the attacks. I got phoned up and told that I'd been successfully. I got an email or got a. I must have been an email back then anyway. Got an email or something just to say congratulations, you got the job. Transport for London. So that was a big thing. So the three things, kind of like life changing events. Well. Kind of two life-changing events, the attack and then my job at TFL. My broken foot, that was done in 6 weeks. I served out pretty much all of my notice at Westminster Council. From that point, sat at home on sick leave, just watching the news. because, you know, that was, again, one of those kind of first, I think I had Sky at the time, just watched Sky News for about three, four weeks as I served out my notice. It was quite, was that 1 month notice or three? I don't know. September, yeah, because I started in, I started in October. So, yeah, it must have only been about 1 month's notice. Excuse me, I'm going to have to take a drink. Sorry. Apologies. So, yes, lest we not forget. Do you feel any safer these days? I don't know. I do not know. It just feels like... constant, doesn't it? I saw Kim Jong-un, or whatever his name is, from North Korea, has gone to see Putin, and I am starting to kind of just turn off and switch off from the news again, just because it just, it's all so depressing. Although I did see something on Twitter the other day about people, there's definitely, like, those just stop oil people, someone's going to die soon. And it, we're all going to say, all these people that are like, just fucking get out of the road, or pleading to the police to do their job. I don't get it. If I mounted the pavement and drove into somebody walking on the pavement, I'd get arrested, right? And I'd go to jail. So what's the difference between someone walking into the, purposely walking into traffic and stopping the traffic and getting hit? Surely that's their fault. It's not the motorist's fault, it's their fault. And it just drives me crazy. But there's more and more people on Twitter these days. There's all these things getting posted up. There was one, definitely it was the UK. There was seen two today, actually. There was one where it's three or four cars that kind of drive through quite quickly. And if they get hurt, in my opinion, if they get hurt, that's their responsibility. They've chosen to try and obstruct moving traffic. You know? And I still don't get that kind of juxtaposition of, if you're that concerned about the environment, if you're that concerned, if you're saying it's really that serious, then you have to know that the inconvenience does raise the issue, and it does raise the profile of the protest, but not in a positive way. But most importantly, it creates additional emissions. So I can't see how you can sit there or stand there or block there or lay down there or glue your hands there and say that you're in the right, that you've got the moral high ground, that this action is will have in some way a positive impact on the environment, when all you're doing is you're turning millions of people against you, and your direct actions are contributing to a more harmful environment. This doesn't make sense. But someone is going to die. Someone's going to die. One of these people, they're going to get, in a way, maybe that's what they want. They want a martyr or something like that. But for me, then, the only people that are responsible for that is the law and the police. I just can't see, I can't comprehend why or how legally they're allowed to do it and the police don't intervene. They actually facilitate and let them do it. Just drives me nuts. It does drive me nuts. But anyway, what else is going on in the world? Kids are back to school, which is great. Girls are back there. It's cost an absolute stack of money. We've got new everything. New rucksacks, new lunchboxes, new clothes, new shoes that cause third degree blisters on both of their feet on day one, so that's gone well. New brownie outfits, so we did brownies yesterday, so the twins are back at school. I think they were really excited, and it's great that they're back at school. And of course we had the issue of the porta cabins, we had the concrete what's it called? There was a particular word from it, wasn't it? So we've had this issue about concrete, which just, again, just all seems to be a bit, is it over the top? Is it over the top? Is it kind of risk averse? I mean, obviously the government's getting caned for it, but it's been going on since the 70s, and previous governments, whether it been Tory or Labour, haven't done anything to resolve it. And, you know, I look back to when I was a kid at school. Most of the schools were made of asbestos, or had asbestos in them. That's for starters. They never closed them down then. My school in York, quite interesting actually, Poppleton Road. It was one of the primary school and junior school all in one, but it was this old, it was this huge, imposing Victorian school. I'm sure it's Victorian. I could be wrong. But certainly early 1900s, I would have said. And it was not that far away from the railway line, the line that runs from London to Scotland. And during the World War II, the Luftwaffe were trying to bomb the railway line. And one of the bombs had a direct hit in the middle of the school. Absolutely bang in the middle. So there was just huge, imposing, large school building, and it just had this huge crater. And they rebuilt it, and you could see actually this kind of lighter brick colour in the building. But during the 70s, when I went there, you know, I don't think there was any heating. most of the classes were. When you was an infant, I think they were in the school, but certainly when you moved to the juniors, you was in the outbuildings, you was in these porter cabins in the playground. I remember now that we had an outside toilets, boys and girls toilets, outside toilets. The boys' toilet, you'd go in, it was all just brick, and you'd go in and there was like a trough that we'd have a pee. And the canteen was certainly porter cabins. And health and safety was just, I mean, we all survived. You know, the snow would be 2 foot deep in winter in Yorkshire, and the school would remain open, you'd trudge to school, you'd go and you'd be actively encouraged to go out and enjoy yourself and build snowmen and have snowmen fight. Or when there was a slope on the playground was kind of like on an incline. 20 degrees, 30 degrees, I don't know, downward slope. And so when you'd have the snow and then the snow would kind of like compact, you would go zoom it. You'd go from the top of the playground to the bottom. You'd be like 30 miles an hour. People are sometimes sneaking trays into school and go down the bottom. And right at the bottom was some railings, and you'd be able to go into a park. And it'd be like a 3 foot drop. And I mean, just all things like health and safety, all these things that make us so nervous. And the government's responsible for everything these days, isn't it? You know, and again, I'm saying this no matter what government is in power, but we're kind of like almost submissive these days, that everything we have to be taken care of. Everything needs to be taken care of for us that, you know, if a bank's going to fail, then they're going to prop up the bank. Or if the heating bill's going up, then they're going to help out with heating bills. And it's just the government needs to do something. Whereas back in the 70s and 80s and our parents, you know, interest rates and inflation would be through the roof. The bins would never get collected. I think during the 70s, you know, there was no concept of this kind of like nanny state, in my opinion. It just... Maybe I'm just like looking at it with tinted glasses. If there's any listeners out there that are even a little bit older than me, what do you think, you know? But it just felt like a different time that, you know, the schools would stay open, you know. There'd be asbestos dripping from the ceiling and you'd still be getting taught lessons. Or the porter cabin would be falling apart. I mean, even in my secondary school, so what, 83, 84 to 87, my secondary school, so many of the classes were taught in just temporary porter cabins, outbuildings, you know, temporary buildings that have been there for years. Excuse me, I'm going to have to take another sip. My mouth's really dry. I apologise. Sorry about that. It's totally unprofessional, isn't it? I know. But, yeah, everything. So the kids are back by hook or by crook. So there's clearly not any of this dangerous concrete or anything like that in their school. Kids are back. COVID's back. So COVID is back now. My mum's had it. Tested positive at the weekend. I did speak to her a couple of times. I need to find her again just to make sure she's fully recovered. But hit her for six a little bit. I don't know. Just I don't know what to think anymore about COVID. You know, I've had the two vaccines. Never got it. I don't think I ever tested positive for COVID. Don't think I did. Gemma did. I think one of the girls did. And I don't think I was rough at all at any point. So there was never any time where I think I got a cold where I felt the need to test for COVID. Don't recall. No, I definitely wasn't positive. Gemma was positive twice. And like, I don't know. There's this kind of mumbling, isn't there? There's like a little murmuring in the background about face masks and getting your jabs. And so the twins haven't had a jab. And that, and there's no way, knowing what I know now, there's no way I'd let the girls have the jab for COVID. No way. Just because, for me, all the evidence is pointing to it being inherently unsafe, certainly for younger people. So there's no way I'm going to do that. And then even myself, I don't think, you know, even if there was clear evidence that, you know, people were dying, you know, insignificant numbers, I just don't feel I trust it anymore, which is terrible, isn't it? I don't know how many people feel like that, that has previously kind of embraced the, I didn't embrace it, it felt like, I do feel like a bit of a sheep looking back on it, but, you know, we all followed it, the vast majority of the people followed it. But when you look at some of the stuff, I see quite a lot of, you know, tweets on this on my feed. I must kind of like have pressed on a tweet and the algorithms just show me all this kind of stuff. But when you look at some of the press statements that were made and some of the viciousness that there was towards people not wearing masks or getting arrested in shopping centres for not wearing a mask, or, you know, this kind of like, there was a survey of Democratic voters in the US during right at the heart of the pandemic, and 60% of Democrats agreed with sending the unvaccinated to quarantine camps to round them up. 60%. I think it was just over 50% that the government should take children away from unvaccinated parents and be put into the care of the government and given mandatory vaccinations. I mean, when you think about that now, did it seem real? I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? It's just weird when you look back at it. And actually, you know, God bless Twitter, or X as it's known as, because there's plenty of right-wing nuts that are quite happy just to post this stuff. And it's genuine stuff, like genuine press conferences from genuine politicians saying actual things, not AI-generated, saying things like, you know, you're irresponsible, you're a second-class citizen, that, you know. And what was it? The US government started sacking people left, right and centre that refused to be vaccinated. And the evidence seems to be showing now quite clearly that the vaccines do have some significant side effects. Some very, very significant side effects. And I'm not going to go into it too much because I'm not going to speak from a qualified position, but I just can't conceive. I think one of the problems is because I think it was such, in a way, when you look back on it, I think it was handled really badly, not just in England, but across the world. And there was this kind of, you know, just because there was this kind of huge kind of drive to get people vaccinated, and anybody who didn't conform to that narrative was seen as a second class or third class citizen. But I think people that like myself have kind of woken up and wised up a little bit more, and I would really, really have to. I'd really, really struggle, really, really struggle to comply with, you know, I think it has to be really bad. You know, you need to be seeing, I think we would, the general public would need to see some real kind of genuine kind of, what's the word? I mean, I don't want to show any disrespect to old age people. I mean, but the COVID seemed to have a massive impact. You know, it had the biggest impact, didn't it, on the elderly. And I don't know what I'm trying to say. I probably should move on because it's just. But anyway, COVID's back. So I'm hoping it's not. You know, I'm hoping it's just one of those things where you just go, it's just the flu. It's just the same. If you get it, you get it. You get a sniffle. You get a cold. You might feel rough. Like the flu, some people might have a severe reaction to the flu and they might end up in hospital, and unfortunately some of them might die. But overall, there's no need to go down this hysterical route of lockdowns. I mean, I don't think any country could afford it, could they? Could any country really afford to survive another lockdown? I just can't see it. But that's kind of that's bubbling in the background. NFL's back, so NFL, national football or American football. Eagles had a win, Miami had a win, 49ers, Dallas Cowboys, Dolphins. Did I mention Dolphins? Jets, Giants got crucified by the Cowboys. But yeah, despite all of the results, I again proved my complete lack of knowledge and understanding of American football in terms of my my little bets, my little accumulators that I put on. I only gamble a couple of quid. I hate losing money, so it was only a couple of quid. But yeah, had a few bets, and yeah, just got nowhere really. But yeah, it's quite exciting. I really do enjoy the NFL, and we've got an international break at the moment. So England are playing Scotland tonight. What was that, John? Which I just don't care about England anymore. I just don't care. I just don't really. Sorry, that's not the right thing. I don't really go out of my way to watch England play football. But they're on tonight against Scotland, so I might tune into that. And then big game on Saturday, West Ham, high-flying Hammers against Manchester City. So the league, the champions, and probably favourites to win the champion, the Premier League again. West Ham are playing them at home. It's my first game. I can't believe we're into mid-September. It's my first match I'm going to see. So I think me and Dan and Alfie are going to meet up and have a bit of lunch and a few beers before the game. I haven't seen those guys for a good couple of weeks. Well, a while. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the weekend. Got lots going on at work. Where am I going tomorrow? Not Bracknell. I'm going to some exhibition, but it's at Brooklands. It's like a Mercedes place or something, a car museum. I mean, I've just never been into cars. I've never been one of these kind of Top Gear, you know, muscle car or luxury car enthusiasts. Just like, I think, what was my first car? Vauxhall Astra. I just buy cars and then just like let them. I mean, I've just never been like a nut. What do they call them? Petrol nuts. Just never been into it. Never been into Formula One or rally car racing or watching Top Gear or, you know, V8, it's got a V8, horsepower thingy, whatever, turbo diesel, whatever you call it. As long as it gets me from A to B. I mean, all that's going to be extinct in a couple of years anyway, isn't it? It's all going to be electric Teslas and all these muscle cars are just going to all kind of go. Well, no, maybe the rich people, maybe Bill Gates will have one. And if you're multi-rich, you'll be able to afford it. Like you can carry on affording to fly on your private jets. Who was the one? Who's the couple? So DiCaprio does it, doesn't he? He goes on about, bangs on about the environment and he's flying by jets everywhere. So does Prince Harry. Who else is there? Who was the one? Emma Thompson was talking about it or something recently and then the very next day jetted off, went on some fucking luxury yacht. It's just, it's us people. It's the people who can't afford it that are going to have to pick up the tab. Any changes that any government in the world makes, you know, if they mandate electric vehicles, if they bring in ultra low emission zones, if they demand that you have to, have a heater pump rather, they're going to ban gas boilers and introduce 15-minute cities and not going to be able to drive your car and you're going to have an ID chip that, you know, you're going to get kind of like monitored for, you know, your environment. What was it? The government's got some, read somewhere the government's introducing legislation that allows the government to basically create a criminal offence for not complying with environmental standards or something like that, like just in your house. So if you don't put in a, I could be getting this wrong, so, you know, I might get fact checked, but you know, if you don't put in a heater, you know, an alternative to a gas boiler, you could get fined £5,000 or something, go to prison for 6 months or whatever. But what's my point? I guess my point is none of this, not a single one of these things, not a single one of these laws, not a single one of these rules has any negative impact on the people that constantly fucking spout off about it. Whether it's Bill Gates or fucking DiCaprio or Emma Thompson or George Clooney or whatever fucking millionaire or billionaire you want to talk about, you know, all the people in the World Economic Forum or whether you're even some of these MPs and people in government in the US, they're all millionaires. They're all millionaires getting backhanders from fucking the National Rifle Association or fucking some chlorinated chicken company that lobbies the government to let them carry on chlorinating chicken or whatever it is. None of them are going to get impacted by any of these things coming in because they will still be able to afford their luxury jets and they will still be afford to go on their fucking yachts. You know, and they can afford to buy the latest electronic fucking Ferrari when it comes out for £200,000. You know, I do feel sorry. And having been someone who's been involved in introducing emission schemes, low emission zone in London and age limits for taxis. You know, I've been involved in some of these schemes. It is the people who are most in need, most deprived, that are going to be picking up the tab. I feel I've been quite political today, haven't I? It wasn't meant to be like that. I promise you it wasn't, but it just seems to have kind of turned out like that. But, yeah, looking, we made a commitment with. So I'll change this. So the girls back at school, I said, made a commitment to really focus on the girls' homework much more this year. just good to see them with a smile on their face going back to school. Apart from the second day when they had blisters on their feet, they weren't smiling so much then. Tilly's been cracking me up recently as well because she's been like new words. She keeps saying like, to be honest. you know, to be honest, or is it, or in all honesty, you keep saying these, I don't know where she's picked it up from, but we've got to be honest in all honesty. We're starting to get the Christmas list together. I think we've got two wheeled scooters on the Christmas list. Although I'm not sure. Hopefully they'll get more use than the skateboards we bought last year. But we've got scooters are on the list already. They've got scooters at the moment, but they're not the two wheeled ones. They've got four wheels on their scooters. So that's going to be the next thing, isn't it? Winter drawing in, Christmas, Halloween, all that kind of shit coming up. So at the moment, doing the podcast down the man cave is reasonably pleasant experience. But winter is drawing. I'll have to go back to coming down here, turning on the heaters, leaving it for an hour, and then coming back once it's warmed up a little bit. But anyway, hope everything's okay with you. I think that's probably all I had to say today. Not a lot. Once again, apologise to the wife for the last podcast. And I don't know. I can't remember what I did. I did have some music to play you out on, but I can't remember what it was. Let's have a look. What was it? Oh, yeah, it was that. I'm not connected. Hang on. That's how shit I am again. I never do it right, do I? Hang on, Bluetooth on. Oh, my God. Not connected. Is it because I haven't got the button on? I don't know. Oh, there you go. Right, so until next time, you may see Man Cave listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a fantastic week or so until I speak to you next. And this is Buffalo Springfield for what it's worth.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.